This is Billy Brim and the voice of One Witness radio broadcast coming to you today from Prayer Mountain in the Ozarks near Branson, Missouri. I'm going to start right in today reading you from the book They Told Me Their Stories by Tommy Welchel. These are the accounts of what happened at Azusa Street when God manifested His presence in the believers, in the church. And these are the stories that are told by the young people. They said they had no trouble getting young people to come to church. No wonder. So what we've done to get them to come. Oh, well, anyway, here we go. No preaching on that. Here we go. Meet Brother Fox, who was 18 years old at Azusa. Azusa had global ramifications. Not only did people come to Azusa from all over the world, many went back to their native countries healed, renewed, inspired, transformed, and ready to be used of God. Azusa was a hands-on workshop for the miraculous, led by God Himself. God used this great outpouring not only to meet immediate needs, but also for preparation to serve Him throughout the world. He brought young people there to train them for the mission field, both at home and across the world. Men and women alike discovered the awesome power of God and how to be used of Him to perform His mighty works. One such man was Brother Fox. When he was in his late teenage years, he went to Azusa in preparation to go to the mission field, in particular to India, and labor for God. By the time he arrived at Azusa, Ralph Riggs was about 14. Remember, he's the man, along with C.W. Ward, who was around 16, who later started the Assemblies of God. For about 18 months, Brother Fox experienced and participated in the miracles and healings at the warehouse. By the time he reached his 20th birthday, he was using what he had learned at Azusa to bring the mighty life-changing power of God to India. When I met Brother Fox in 1963, he had just retired and settled at Pisgah, where he renewed his friendship with many Azusa saints. He was in his early 70s. He kept his shiny silver hair kind of long and combed straight back. His hair was so shiny that when he got around a light, it would glow. I had the privilege of riding with him on a trolley from time to time when he would go and witness to those riding the cable cars. And in between his witnessing as we traveled, I would listen to his stories about India. But when it came to stories about Azusa, I went to his apartment, settled at his feet with my cookies and milk, and listened intently. He shared with me that he was awestruck by the movement of God and how the manifestation of God's power varied according to the degree of the manifestation of the Shekinah glory. The thicker the cloud, the greater the miracles. He was also in awe of Brother Seymour. Fox said that this man had to be a very deep man of God. Fox was present at the miracle when the man's arm grew out of the socket. During that experience, Brother Fox heard from God that he himself would have miracles like Seymour's, but in a foreign country, a word that proved itself over and over again as Brother Fox labored in India. Fox took the anointing with him when he left Azusa, but he could not take with him the Shekinah glory. He explained to me that as far as he could tell, the Shekinah glory was unique to the Azusa Street Revival. Well, you know, folks, I don't know about that because it's manifested. The glory's manifested in Brother Hagin's meetings, some other meetings, but it rested there like no place we know in modern times. While at Azusa, Brother Fox went around healing everybody he could. Actually, it wasn't he that was doing the healing. Of course, you know that. He loved to pray for the deaf and the mute. He would pray for them and whisper in each ear, "You deaf spirit, you come out in the name of Jesus." He said he could hear a little pop and whooshing sound as the ear would be healed. Then he would go to the next person and do the same. If they couldn't talk, he laid hands on their necks. He said, "I'm not one of those who would stick my hand down their throats. They might get excited and bite a finger off." He told me that he prayed in the name of Jesus, and sometimes they would start talking. Most of the time, though, they would have to learn how to talk, but they would start making audible sounds. Brother Fox remembered a man with his neck blackened by a cancer that had eaten at his throat, leaving him unable to talk. Fox prayed for him, laying hands on the lump that protruded from his neck. Looking down at the blackened area after the prayer, Brother Fox said, "I don't see anything happening. Something's wrong here." He asked the man, "Are you believing?" The man nodded his head. "Let's do it again." With those words, Brother Fox prayed again. This time, when he took his hands away, the blackness and lump were gone. He commanded the man, "Talk." The man blurted out, "I can't." Fox said, "Say that again." The man realized that a miracle had taken place and he could talk. The cancer was gone and his throat was restored. Immediately the man started rejoicing and shouting. Brother Fox just stood there, being the reserved gentleman that he was, but you could see the smile as he stood in awe of the miracle. God was preparing Brother Fox for great and mighty works in India. One lesson he was taught by the Spirit was that you didn't have to heal people one at a time. He recalled when a sign language teacher brought his class of totally deaf people from a school for the deaf to the meeting. If you want to teach them to sign, why did you bring them to a place where they would get healed? You're going to be out of a job because these people are going to be healed tonight. Brother Fox took the teacher by surprise. The teacher responded with apparent disbelief. You're talking like they're all going to get healed. They are. They are going, all going to be healed. Brother Fox spoke emboldened by God's Spirit. This was a group of around 35 deaf people. Without wavering, Brother Fox gestured and told them all to join hands and form a circle. He looked at the teacher standing nearby and told the teacher, "Evidently you don't have much faith, so stand off to the side, please. Now I'm going to lay hands on this man and start with him." Immediately, Fox realized they couldn't understand a word he was saying, and the teacher was laughing at him because he too understood that they couldn't hear him. Without hesitation, Brother Fox simply whispered in the first man's ear and told the spirit to come out. The miracle was immediate. As soon as the once deaf man could hear, he got excited. And when the others saw his excitement and that he could hear, they started getting healed one by one like a line of dominoes. In just a few minutes, all of them were healed. Fox had only touched the first man in the circle. From that point on, God took over and allowed his power to flow through the connected hands, touching each and every one gathered in the circle. I sat and listened to Brother Fox tell his stories, both about Azusa and India, and the mighty miracles God used him to perform. I couldn't help but remember the words recorded in the Gospel of John. Jesus told his disciples, "He that believeth on me, the works that I do, shall he do also. And greater works than these shall he do." Brother Fox had a strong and mighty belief in the power of Jesus. He went to God's workshop and saw with his own eyes the wonder-working power of God. He was used of God at Azusa to perform mighty works and took the lessons he learned at Azusa and applied them to his work in India. There the blind found sight, the lame could walk, the sick found health, and mighty healings were commonplace. The Spirit of God worked mightily through Brother Fox. The only thing they didn't have was the manifestation of the glory of God. Found faithful. Meet Sister Goldie, age 18. Moreover, it is required in stewards that a man be found faithful. Paul's words are timeless, but never more appropriate than for those touched by God at Azusa. The parable of talents found in Matthew 25 stresses that God gives us abilities according to his divine purpose, and we are to be faithful with what we have been given. With God, it is not the number of abilities that is important. It is the use of our God-given abilities that God rewards. The abilities of those used by God at Azusa were diverse. God was preparing some for great and mighty tasks and others simply to be found faithful day by day, using their God-given abilities for his glory. Sister Goldie is one of the Azusa saints who is worthy of the commendation that she was faithful in her service to God. You may remember her when we first started this book, for she was the one used of God to lead me to know Jesus Christ as my personal Savior. She was also the one who introduced me to many of the Azusa saints residing at Pisgah. In the initial chapters, I told you about her ministry at Venice Beach and Pisgah. In this chapter, I want to share her stories about her days at Azusa. Sister Goldie came from Venice Beach to Pisgah once a month. She always arrived early so she could tell me her stories. Faithful to the tradition that was common among the saints, she brought with her homemade chocolate chip cookies and cold milk that she'd purchased from Dick's Market after she got off the bus. With cookies and cold milk in hand, she would walk down to Pisgah. The truth is, she spoiled me rotten. She bought me my first Bible, engraved with my name on it. She bought me my first dress coat and dress shoes. I was her little project, and she loved ministering to me. I was like a son to her. In fact, at times, she even referred to me as her son. We would meet in the back of the dining hall where there were couches and chairs. At first, it was just us, but after a few months, she began to draw an audience of young people and adults who just wanted to hear her stories about the mighty works of God. She needed very little coaxing. One of the main reasons she came to Pisgah each month was to tell her stories, and she loved the opportunity to relive those moments she spent serving God at Azusa. When she was about 18 years old, she started attending the Azusa Revival in 1908 and attended for 2 years. She was already a Christian and didn't need healing, but she wanted to be a part of what was happening at Azusa. She got involved with Sister Carney and asked her how she did what she did. Sister Carney explained that they were part of a great revival that she and others had prayed for God to send. Sister Carney further explained that they worked with the people gathered for the meeting until Brother Seymour came down. They continued to minister to the people even while Brother Seymour had the box on his head. She told Sister Goldie, "Even after he comes down, we have between 10 minutes to an hour while Brother Seymour has the box on his head. When he takes the box off, you go sit down." Goldie watched Carney for a few days, what she did and how she did it, then started finding people to bless. Sister Goldie was drawn to people with obvious disfigurements. One such young man had a bow in his arm. He had broken his arm in a ball game several years prior. For some reason, he never saw a doctor, and the bones had never been reset. She looked at the man and said, "This is going to be fun." The young man looked at her and said, "It's going to be what?" Sister Goldie repeated herself, "It's going to be fun." She took his deformed arm in one hand and touched the bowed bones with her other hand. She looked straight at the arm and said, "I take all authority over you, and I command you in the name of Jesus, straighten out." Immediately and miraculously, the arm healed and straightened. No noise, no popping, and quietly became normal. She was drawn to people who had disfigurements or ugly growths on their faces and would pray for them. After the first couple of healings where the growths or tumors just fell off in her hand, she began to carry towels with her. Sometimes she had to bandage the area where the growth had been because the tumors or growths would come off and leave a wound in the flesh. Sometimes the total miracle was not instantaneous. The tumor would come off, but the complete healing may have taken hours, even overnight. As she prayed for those people, the growth, goiter, tumor, or whatever would come off in Sister Goldie's hands. She would seek people out. Most people just tolerated small growths on their faces and didn't seek healing. But Sister Goldie had other thoughts. She was instrumental in the healing of perhaps 3,000 tumors and facial growths during the 2 years she attended the revival services. From Azusa to Venice Beach from 1908 until her death, this dear saint was found faithfully serving God. She's since gone to be with the Lord, and I'm sure she heard, "Well done, my good and faithful servant." Oh, we want to hear that too. And we want the church to hear, "Well done." You know, God, the temple, the tabernacle was finished and filled with glory. The temple is finished and filled with glory. The church must be finished and filled with the glory of God. Won't you join us in praying for God's manifest presence, the sons of God to be manifested to creation? We want you to have this book, They Told Me Their Stories. You can order it from us for $10. You can get Brother Hagin's book on tongues for $10. Just call 1-800-972-3447. We want you to have the book. Shalom. This is Billy Brown. Till next time.